Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to Blockchain Life. I have my original guest back in action, Eric Diaz. How are you doing today, Eric?
I'm doing great, Carrie. You know, the crypto markets, they have, I guess, you know, calmed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But as I'm sure we'll speak about today, I think this is where it's time to get really excited about, yes, you know, blockchain, the tech, because, you know, times like this is where, you know, a lot of things calm down and allows people to build.
Yes. You know? In fact, we were chatting about that. I'm going to switch my lighting here. There we go. So we were talking about that before we started, but for those that don't know, we have bear markets and bull markets, correct? Bull markets are when things are going very well for the investor.
Yes.
And then the bear market is when times are tough.
Yeah, essentially in all markets, you know, stock markets, all types of markets, naturally there are periods where assets appreciate and there's periods where, you know, they don't perform as well. And yes, you know, kind of where you're positioned as an investor, you know, it benefits you. It can benefit you in both ways because there are assets that perform better during bear markets. And there, mm-hmm, you know, obviously most assets perform best during bull markets versus bear markets. However, what I would say is that, you know, long term in any market that you can look at, you know, the S&P 500, you know, top 500 companies, American companies in the stock market, you know, everybody uses that as a benchmark when you're looking at the stock market specifically. If you zoom out, no matter what crash you look at, if you zoom out and look at the bigger picture, it's always going up long term.
And I love it.
Yeah, very similar as well with crypto markets. It's always going up long term. And, you know, yeah, reasons for that may be include, for example, inflation. You know, so markets, since, you know, what they do is they value the underlying asset, whatever it may be, according to its value in society, whether what the investor is willing to pay, et cetera. That changes over time naturally.
Yep. Keep rolling. I'm just refreshing my camera. You got it.
Okay. Yeah. And it also changes over time naturally just with performance. And as you see, especially with crypto, we're speaking to right now, more people are coming to adopt the technology.
Yes.
More use cases to the technology, you know, more people being educated about it. And what's very interesting is, you know, just to kind of close off on this, if you look at the traditional stock market, there are trillions and trillions of dollars invested in there. So let's say $1 trillion of capital is removed from the market. You know, it might be a slight downturn. Because imagine it's a huge pool of money. $1 trillion is just a smaller portion at this point. You take it out, there might be, you know, a small drop in value, small relative, you know, to what we're speaking to as crypto now. So whereas with crypto, you know, I think at its peak, the total overall market was just like $3 trillion, which is not a lot, you know, compared to the traditional market. So if there's $1 trillion worth of, you know, capital withdrawn from the market, that'd be a 33% decline. Wow. You know, so it becomes more drastic just because the size of the market isn't as large. But over time, as it matures, as we've seen, things like that might not affect the price going forward.
I love it. You know, I was in Miami this week. I call it the crypto capital of the world. Some people disagreed with me online, but I know there's always things going on there. And when I was down there, I was talking with a gentleman, and I'm not going to say his name, but he's into AI. He's into artificial intelligence. And we were in a meeting together and he was saying, oh, you know, Carrie, I think crypto's done.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I think the metaverse is all hype. And he was saying all this stuff. And I'm kind of looking at him like, what? Where is he getting this? Because, I mean, I've read books on Bitcoin. And Bitcoin especially, and so many times people have said it's dead. It's China banned it, Russia banned it, it's over, it's done. And there's this guy named Andreas Anatopoulos who says that Bitcoin is like that sewer rat that keeps getting coming back, even though it's got more and more attacks. It keeps coming back, keeps coming back. So I wasn't even worried when this guy was talking. And yeah. And I think it's honestly, but yet this summer I was worried. Remember? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I remember.
Remember that? Because I got in probably not a ton of money, but I got in just a little bit of money. I was new to the game. I was new to NFTs, new to metaverse back in, I want to say March, April, May, when it was high.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, June and July, it kind of dipped. And I remember calling you like anxious, thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do?
Yeah. You know?
But then this time, just like you, when we chatted before we started today, I have not been worried at all. And I'm just going to share some of the recent headlines so people can realize what's going on. This week, and I know this will date the podcast, but at least people can hear what has happened. Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard
mm-hmm.
for something like $75 billion or something.
Yes.
So that's big. Microsoft.
That is insanely huge.
It's huge. And what I've realized is that in my studies, because I've been studying a lot, man,
mm-hmm.
but Unity Engine and Unreal Engine are video game platforms.
Yes.
And this is where the metaverse is really coming into the space through video game engines. Would you agree?
Yeah. Video games is a huge way which the metaverse is coming to be. I think when people consider metaverse also, what's very interesting about metaverse is, yes, so easy way to understand it is that, let's say you can enter a virtual world where, you know, people are interacting through, like, let's say a video game platform in this virtual mm-hmm. world. But if you ask me, metaverse isn't so much a location like the video game. I'd say it's right. more so, excuse me?
I would say absolutely true. I believe it's the interoperability of the metaverse platforms. In other words, just like I can be on the internet and I literally have like 15 browsers open.
Mm-hmm.
But in the metaverse, I'll be one avatar, but I can go to all the worlds.
Yes. I think metaverse, if you ask me, is more a period of time in just like human civilization.
I agree.
It's, you know, it's where, you know, we take a step further in our integration into technology.
Yes.
If you were to ask me, I believe me and you are interacting in the metaverse as we speak right now.
I agree. That's so mm-hmm. funny, because when people say metaverse, I don't get it. I say, you know what? We've been flirting with the metaverse
mm-hmm.
for years. I say, listen, when you go to your smartphone and you open up a Starbucks app and you show the Starbucks barista and they scan it and you're earning stars that count for future drinks. I say, you know what? You're kind of flirting with the metaverse, but we just haven't fully integrated it. It's like we've been between the web 2 and web 3. Even when I'm talking to you, Eric, in person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of checking my phone and I'm on Facebook, I'm kind of two places at once.
Yeah.
I'm physically with you, but I'm posting on Facebook, and so my attention's not fully with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is why I wrote my book Unhackable, because I think we all felt that you were getting hacked when you were trying to balance two worlds. But I think in the metaverse where we're going, I think it's going to be connected.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an immersion of, you know, your physical reality and what we use today as the internet, which, you know, we're already very close to that, Kara.
Yes.
We all use the internet every day, whether it's for social media, for shopping, for education,
yes.
all these things. And now it becomes more of a seamless interaction. And
yes.
blockchain allows, you know, for economic incentives now and for digital ownership and things
yes.
like that. So, as you see, like, now we're getting closer. It's just becoming a closer thing where
I like that.
you know, just being in this virtual space, you know, I feel like before, as the internet came to be, people fought it. Kind of like the guy that you mentioned was downplaying cryptocurrency. Yes. And metaverse. It's hype. Mm-hmm. It's all of that. People said similar things about the internet. And, you know, if you're saying Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and metaverse are a fad and they're going away, you're basically saying the internet's a fad because they're just facilities that operate on the internet, you know?
It's true. Oh, I'm so with you. I'm so mm-hmm. with you. I love what we're chatting about. Another thing is I've told people when they say, what's the metaverse? I say, because they're like, oh, it's just a video game. I say, listen, it's a video game where your choices have real consequences. Mm-hmm. It's not like where your guy jumps off Mario and then you die and you quote die in the game. I'm talking about like you can literally invest in land and mm-hmm. sign contracts. I mean, yeah. you can make legit decisions in the metaverse that have real consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it comes economic incentivization. I was reading the other day, well, you know, as you mentioned, Walmart.
Yes, Walmart this week filed papers over the holiday.
Yeah, to basically create their own metaverse where people can then, I guess, virtually shop in their, you know, virtual world. And I guess either this could be while you're at the parking lot, you virtually shop real quick and they bring it out to your car, or you virtually shop and then it'll tell you when to pick it up at the store, or they deliver it and things like that. And I don't know if you've seen some of the videos. I suggest anybody out there, you know, Googles it, Walmart metaverse, you know, virtual reality, and you'll quickly see that.
Ooh, that's good. I've not done that yet.
There's this video and it's insane. And what you see is people, it's like somebody's shopping online. They're like grabbing things off the shelf, putting it in their cart, and then out of nowhere, like the shelves like go down and then new shelves pop up and you're in a new aisle and you look, you can like pick something up and look at it and like the details pop up about it.
That's
and
crazy, man.
Add to cart or not add to cart. So they're looking to do something similar to that. And wow. I think things like that only help businesses and their exposure and just different ways for people, you know, to interact with their brand, with the Walmart brand, with shopping and things like that.
Absolutely.
The Activision thing that you mentioned,
yeah.
For people that don't know what that is, some of the world's most popular video games, Call of Duty.
Yes.
By Activision. You know, I'm not, you know, the biggest Call of Duty player, but I think anybody that's ever played video games has played Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is huge. And Microsoft recently announced their metaverse, and they said that they made this purchase to further engage with their, you know, their metaverse mindset and what they see in mind. That's so crazy. If you have some of, like, let's say the arguably one of the biggest video games, which is Call of Duty, has been around for years. Mm-hmm. It has, you know, for sure contributed to the rise in video games, you know, mm-hmm. popularity, you know. And you're telling me that they're not integrating with, you know, a metaverse focused company. There's going to be a crossover there where you start to see NFTs and things like that within yes. the video game. And it's going to be huge.
You see my screen?
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
Look at this, man. And by the way, when I first saw this, I was overwhelmed a few weeks ago. But now I've been studying it and I'm not that overwhelmed. Because you look at the top, it says metaverse market map, and then it says experiences, discovery, creator economy,
mm-hmm.
spatial computing, decentralize, then it has human interface and infrastructure. And so what I think people who don't really understand the metaverse, I think what we're saying is, it's the interconnectivity of all these things. Like in the past, things were very cumbersome. You know, if I wanted to send you money on a webinar or something, it's like very cumbersome. You know, PayPal mm-hmm. has to talk to your email, which has to talk to, you know, your wallet, which has to talk to your bank. There's like all these steps and it takes a long time. But with 5G,
mm-hmm.
see, like 5G, on top of all these things, now we're ready for the first time in human history, we can almost handle it, where in the past we couldn't handle it with 3G or 4G.
Yeah. It's essentially what it comes to be is just this, you know, what you showed there was metaverse market cap, and it's all these companies which somewhat in some way contribute to the internet. I saw internet connection companies, I saw chip companies, I saw, you know, blockchain companies, I saw device
crypto.
Exactly, blockchain companies, crypto. I saw, you know, product companies, you know, Apple, you know, and then you have all these infrastructure companies that hold, you know, what we're speaking on right now. Somebody's hosting this site on a server. That's Amazon, you know, things like that. Cloud companies, you see video game companies, and all these things come together. And like I said, it just becomes a deeper integration into our everyday lives. And it's just going to continue to moving forward. I think it's something important to embrace. Mm-hmm. You know, if you kind of, if you ask me, I've been very vocal about this. Like, the metaverse is something that, you know, you can either embrace or you don't have to embrace, but you'll just end up and you'll have to.
Yes.
No, it's kind of like it's
going to
be.
You'll be going to a food line at a restaurant. And just like you would say someday, I don't want to use a screen to order. That's how you do it now.
Exactly. Things like that. You know, a lot of people, if you notice from the pandemic, there's a lot of headlines where people work from home.
Right.
There are digital offices where people, you know, work from remote locations. I know you have experience with that. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that the company or the people working don't produce, you know, effective work or good work.
That doesn't mean it might even be better.
It can be better or just as good as anybody in an office,
yes.
You know, at a more comfortable, you know, location or way to work for, you know, the employee or the company and things like that. So it's something that I don't think anybody should write off.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be, of course, people that doubt this. As you see, let me give you an example. So I'm sure a lot of people interact with Twitter. If you ask me, Twitter. Yeah. Is one of my favorite platforms to, you know, get a pulse on whatever community I want to know what people are saying.
Right.
I follow a lot of investment, you know, stock market accounts. I follow a lot of crypto accounts, and I use it every day to kind of have a gauge on the pulse or the sentiment of people in the community. And I believe this is also the case for a lot of other people. Some people use Twitter for entertainment purposes. I know, Carrie, you engage a lot with other authors and people in the publishing space, and you can kind of gauge a pulse in the community. And Twitter is very big. Yes. However, the founder of Twitter,
Jack Dorsey,
recently left Twitter. And the reason that had occurred was, believe it or not, Jack Dorsey was a Bitcoin maximalist, and he did not believe in like Ethereum or NFTs or decentralized applications. So even him being so big didn't believe in that, and he eventually just had to leave Twitter. And as soon as he left Twitter, as you see now, there's a lot of crypto integration that goes deeper and further into that. And they recently announced a feature where you can have NFT profile pictures verified. Like before, somebody would screenshot their NFT and put it there, and then you could have the same screenshot of my NFT and put it as your profile picture. Well, now they have a verification system.
That's interesting. And in fact, you, before we started today, you just showed me how. And now my profile picture on Twitter is my show up, build up book, which is a legit NFT.
Mm-hmm. And it shows it as a hexagon. So, it, you know, it stands out. What I'm going to say is that this is something that, you know, even though the markets might not be performing at an optimal place, you know, for people that might be invested in it, things like that. I think this is the time for you to get even more excited.
Oh, I'm excited.
It gives you an opportunity to learn, you know, kind of like at a calmer pace. When things are going great and hectic, you have people telling you in your ear, hey, invest in this. Right. Hey, you know, this, you know, it gets a little hectic, you know, which I don't mind, right? Crypto is very fast. It's going to continue to be very fast. But with a downturn in the markets, it kind of gives you, you know, a calm setting to continue to learn and then maybe continue to build. It gives you a chance to integrate, you know, better. When things are going really well, everybody's moving fast, very fast. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do this. When there's a downturn, you know, when there's a bear market, some of the best companies in the world come arrive from a bear market and things like that, because that's when you really can build and you can really can work towards something. And
man, that is so good. I love that. Yeah. And I just read today, because I started subscribing to these publications. Mm-hmm. You know, and you remember Eric. I mean, I'm the classic guy who says, remember the summer when things were going crazy, and I just said, I don't get all this stuff. Remember that? I said, I'm not. I actually went through a period where I'm like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
There was too much coming. My head was spinning. I didn't know what currency was what coin was what, who I should trust, who's fake, who's being real, what's a scam. And there was a period of time where I'm like, man, I just need to take a break. And I did. I took a break. But then what's interesting is I saw it more and more. And I saw it building. I want to show a slide here, Eric.
Sure.
One that really helped me recently. It's not super high res, but just hang with me. Cause I've been reading, I've been listening, but can you see this?
Of course.
Okay. So this is interesting. Have you ever seen something like this before?
The diagram.
Yeah.
A Venn diagram.
Yeah. I'm going to show you this. Watch this. So VR, virtual reality,
mm-hmm.
AR, augmented reality.
Yeah.
MR, mixed reality, and where these three converge is XR, extended reality.
Mm-hmm.
And this is interesting, and it really helped me because I'm very visual. And, you know, I heard people talk about VR and goggles, and some people think, oh, you need goggles to get in the metaverse. Actually, you don't. You can have goggles, Oculus mm-hmm. or others that are, you know, that help accentuate the metaverse. Don't worry about my camera. Everyone's online right now in my neighborhood and my son and everything. So I keep flaking out. But then augmented reality is kind of like that Van Gogh show that a lot of people are watching that's touring, at least in our city, where you screens move or you can hold up your phone over a piece of art and it comes alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then mixed reality are like different components that you don't know what's real and what's not. I mean, it's really the Matrix one, like, but then extended reality is this interconnectivity that you're saying where you don't know where it starts and stops. And, mm-hmm. You know, people are playing a video game and they're like, whoa, you know, and it'll have real effects. Someone could literally ring their doorbell and they've won a food item that they competed for in the game. Like, there's just going to be this seamless interconnection.
And then I just want to point out that that's very true. But people, you know, the goggles and the glasses, people are going to be skeptical about that and they're not going to think that's a thing. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually, over time, that's just naturally going to be a part of society. It's not going to be these bulky goggles. It's going to be something like maybe you're wearing glasses and you're driving in the road and the glasses somehow, like, you know, shows you like pothole coming, be aware.
Yeah, it's almost like, see, we're so close to it. Like right now, a lot of us drive with Waze, W-A-Z-E, that says exactly. Potholes coming, but it's made up of other drivers ahead of you, but you're saying like the glasses and goggles will even take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And it can. I agree with you. I agree.
You see it already with technologies like, you know, Tesla.
Yes.
Self-driving cars. What they work to do is something, you know, to us, self-driving cars, like, okay. But if you dive deeper, what they're looking to do is that they look to mimic all the perceptive abilities, which some of us don't understand, are extremely complex and highly advanced that we have in our brain that interacts with our eyes, our ears, you know, what we smell, all of those things to be a car that self-drives, we use all of these things while we're driving. For example, while we're driving, we might not necessarily be looking directly at the traffic light, but we can see, like, it turns red. We're not looking directly at it. We can, you know, this perceptive ability. We can see a car on the side, and we're looking straight forward. Things like this. So all of these things, what they look to do is basically have code that is able to program and mimic a human brain.
Very, I love that.
Very interesting stuff. And then, you know, what does this tie into blockchain? Blockchain creates, you know, this ledger where you can't mess with these things. You know, if somebody, you know, you can bring, let's say, an economy into the digital world. So it becomes, like I said, we're working towards this. Just, it's just coming closer and closer with technology. Yes. I've mentioned it before on the podcast. People need to consider that, you know, people think stuff like this might not be reality or might not come
true. Oh, it's crazy, man.
We started with the wheel and like fire, like as like, you know, things like that. And then over time, naturally, we as humans progress. And it's just been like I said, these two lines, just technology and humans, and there's just this integration into human life that is just going to continue to get closer.
It's unbelievable. Couple things on this point. I've been reading a really good book. Mm-hmm. You ever hear the name Kathy Hackle?
I have not.
Okay. She's known as the godmother of the metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nickname she's got. Okay. But this book called The Augmented Workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's one of her books. She doesn't write a lot. She normally consults with brands that are getting into blockchain, NFTs, and that type of thing. But I thought she defined it really well. She said Web 1 was information. Okay, so Web 1 was information. Web 2 was people,
mm-hmm.
like social media, all these platforms. Web 3 is people, places, and things. You know, I thought that was pretty good. You know, just a simple way to explain things. Another thing she says is that we're always worried about robots replacing humans. And mm-hmm. the more I'm reading this book, I don't think it's like that. I think it's, if you've heard of the term cobots, not robots, but cobots, we're kind of in that phase right now where robots can and will work alongside humans mm-hmm. to make things more efficient. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, definitely. There are companies out there working on robots that, for example, some people, you know, don't like that concept because I guess lower skilled jobs that can be performed by robots than displaced workers.
Mm.
You know, but I think that's just natural progression over time has always been a thing with technology. That's mm-hmm. not anything new. But they can then take humans out of just jobs that humans don't want to do. So, true. You know, me and you, Carrie, I'd say, you know, we're blessed enough to do things that we might be passionate about every day. But there are people that just do jobs because they have to get paid and they just don't, they don't enjoy the job. They don't want to do it. That can take that out for just like the human process of things that can be removed from humans. There's people that, you know, work in a factory and they just do a very repetitive process over and over again every day. I'm sure they're not passionate about it, but it's a job. And if you say, okay, then it displaces that worker, is bad for the economy. I guess you said so, but then it creates this alternate, you know, I guess, motive in humans to pursue something they're actually passionate about, because these repetitive, boring jobs are now done by robots. Humans no longer have to, you know, are used for that kind of thing. So now humans naturally, you know, can progress to something different, just in overall, like, a sense of what humans do.
I agree.
But what also robots can do is they can, like I said, these repetitive, boring jobs can be taken out. Dangerous jobs can now be performed by robots, too. Mm. People that, you know, perform dangerous jobs every day, they're compensated for it.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you know, lives can be lost. Limbs can be lost.
Yes.
Things like that. So these are things that robots, like, kind of coexist with humans and perform these things. And
I agree. Humans. I agree. I even think it's, you know, the robot assisted jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And at least in this book, it talked about people, and I'm not saying the PC term correctly, but people that have mental challenges
mm-hmm.
could essentially, with robot assistance, perform even to create more value.
Yeah.
So, you see what I'm saying? So it's just like, oh, someone has a prosthetic leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's technological assistance to do something physically better. Why could we not do something that's mentally assisted?
Yeah, no, like I said, now that's something that gets a little crazy. You know, like even for me, it sounds crazy.
No, but it's happening.
No, it is. Like you said, there's people with, you know, unfortunately they have disabilities, whether it be speech impairments or things like that, you know.
Yeah, like I hear, like we've had this, and this is what I want people to realize. Like we've had hearing aids, which is a very elementary version of a machine helping you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden we're like, whoa, but a machine helping you think, that's nuts. Well, we've been flirting with this for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And it all interconnects, you know, like I said, like you put the metaverse market cap, all these things we're speaking about fall somewhere in there.
It's crazy, man.
And, you know, as what brought us here, blockchain technology allows for all of these things to have digital value and hold that digital value and have transferable digital value. And like I said, as we go forward, all these things will continue to connect further and connect better, and it becomes more immersive for humans. And you know, even as we're speaking right now, we're in the metaverse. People are listening to us right now in the metaverse, and it'll become more evident to them, you know, as they go along.
Well, listen, we'll close today, but we'll close with one thought. You've heard the term, at least I've heard it. It's been around now for almost as long as you've been alive, Eric. But it's called IoT, Internet of Things. All right, you ready for this? Watch this. The new term, and maybe you've heard this already, is IoE, the Internet of Everything.
Yeah.
Because Kathy talks about this in the book. Like, it's not just IoT anymore. Like, mm-hmm. the whole reason we're crossing the threshold into Web3 is because of IoE. Mm-hmm. And it's true, man. I am so excited. I just came back from Miami and I was in this workshop, mm-hmm. and I was talking about some of this stuff, and some of the people were like, what? You know, like they're, I get it. And, you know, I probably know very little compared to the experts, but I'm so excited. This is the best time to be alive. Eric, I'm going to give you the last word. I'm going to refresh my camera, but give us the last word on, should we be optimistic or scared and fearful? Mm-hmm. Give us the thought.
Well, one last thing I'd like to say is I've been a part of, you know, blockchain technology, cryptocurrency markets since, I say, 2016. And I think, you know, my self-development in the space, understanding, as well as, you know, positioning myself for the future, all of that came to be when people were talking about it being a bear market, or the market wasn't flourishing as it has been within the past years. And it all came from that time period where people weren't talking about it, but I understood what the technology brought to the table. As people are probably speak about it, I don't think people speak about it less, as we're still seeing headlines being made every day about the technology. But just because, you know, let's say the markets aren't flourishing, I don't say don't stop paying attention. Like, continue to learn. That's where you make, you know, advancements that help you. Because while people might not be, you know, further bettering themselves about the space or learning and things like that, that's where you do. And then when the market flourishes, you're ready. You know what you've been learning. You know, maybe you started building something, a company that interacts with blockchain, or, you know, you learned and know where you want to position yourself for the technology, mm-hmm. for the future, things like that. You know where to look. you know, and I think this is the perfect time to do that. I think it's the best time to be excited about the technology. For me, at least, it's the best time to be excited. You see a lot of people get washed out, people that you know are there, you know, for a cash grab or for this and things like that. That's when those people are washed out and you essentially, you know, is your biggest chance to grow.
I love it, man. This is so good today. Eric, thank you so much. And we'd love to hear people respond in the comments, questions, thoughts, agreements, disagreements. Let's keep the conversation going. And Eric, we'll talk with you again very soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.